Good morning, everybody. My name is Jude. I'm a compulsive overeater, and it's a miracle that I could even speak today. I got weighed today, and because I didn't yesterday for some reason. Well, I had a reason, but anyway, my biggest gratitude when I got weighed was that I was weighing myself on a scale that could register my weight, because I remember in the olden days when they had the dial scales that went up to 300 pounds. And they couldn't give me a weight because I was over 300 pounds. So I try to focus on the gratitude of living the miracle of every time I step on the scale. I am just going to show one picture. This is not me at my heaviest at all, but this was me when I came in this last time. And that's me at this past Christmas. So I was in that picture there, probably at least 60 pounds heavier at one point, but you get the idea. Okay. So anyway, I was always a compulsive overeater. I don't remember a time in my life when I did not want more food. It was just this incredible drive I had. Early on, I learned that one was not enough of anything. I always had to have two. Early on, I learned to steal food because there was so much shame around eating, or at least I perceived that. I realize now my parents, my mother especially, who had this disease, desperately did not want me to live a life of misery that she lived of being a morbidly obese woman. And so she tried her ways so I wouldn't. But of course, they failed because I'm a compulsive overeater and conventional methods of weight loss will never work for me. And I've told my story plenty of times, but I went to diet camp for the first time when I was 7 for 2 months, which began my very unsuccessful dieting career. And I went to diet camp for the next 7, 9 summers. So my whole, when I was 7 till I graduated from high school or my junior year was spent trying to keep me on a diet and lose weight. And I really do believe that all that did was drive me deeper into my disease because I learned to lie, steal, and cheat with food. And I learned a great deal about shame in my body. Shame of my body, fear of people seeing my body. I used to wear sweaters that covered my butt. And I thought my butt was so big, if somebody looked at it, it would like cause somebody to be blind or something, like it was the most horrendous thing on earth to see. And I remember being at diet camp one time, and I had very good friends there. And I was a young teenager. And the way my body was shaped back then is I had a very small waist and very big hips. It's amazing what can still come up. And I remember them singing. We used to remember that song, Michael, Row Your Boat Ashore, Hallelujah. Well, I remember they did this one chorus where Judy has hips like battleships. And those things can stay with you. For some reason, by miracle of God, when I lost my weight this time, my whole body completely went into a normal shape. And maybe chalk it up to menopause that hips went up there and it worked out. But I was made fun of a lot of it as a kid for my body. I went to a small school, and so you kind of stood out. And even when I wasn't overweight, when I look at pictures and my parents were still sending me to diet camp, I was still made fun of. But I had all the insecurities of a compulsive overeater. I just thought I wasn't good enough. I thought people would not like me, which has been the thread through my entire life. How can I get people to like me and approve of me? And I just am in the middle of another fourth step inventory, did resentment and fear. And it's amazing how this insecurity about my body size carried me through my life and caused me to make some really horrible decisions. Just so I could feel loved and approved by others. I really lowered my standards where I had no standards. And, they definitely had ramifications on the rest of my life. Anyway, so my 20s were difficult. I bottomed out, I believe, in my life, my early 20s, where I stopped going out of the house for 2 years. I have no idea how big I got, but it was big. I used to buy jeans in the men's big and tall shop and they didn't fit. And I used to, hold them close with a rope. And I just stopped going out. And I used to say I had agoraphobia, but the truth was I didn't want anybody to see how big my body was. I had so much shame. Somehow I was able to put myself on a diet, got the confidence to go out, saw a TV show on bulimia, and that like day instantly, I thought it was the best gift on earth, and I became bulimic like immediately, and just started purging everything I ate under the sun and used laxatives to make sure everything left my body. I did that for about 5 or 6 years, and then I stopped. I just couldn't do it anymore. It is so much work to be a bulimic. I mean, it was just exhausting. And as soon as I stopped doing it, my weight shot back up to 300 pounds. A friend told me about OA, who was not in OA. She read the article, so we never know how we're going to get the message carried to us. And I went to my first meeting, and it was wonderful. And I loved OA in my first recovery. Oh my gosh, it was everything I wanted. I made instant friends. I lost my weight. I thought I was all that and more. I thought I was Miss OA. I wore the OA sash and look at me. I lost all my weight. I thought I looked good. Was I still feeling like a piece of crap? I always say pride comes before the fall, and boy, did I crash off a deep cliff. And the biggest red warning flag I'll give to everybody, that was for me, is I started looking for reasons to eat out. I don't like to eat out today, but that should have been my biggest warning flag ever, because I always had to go to a restaurant with the salad bars because the volume, my need for volume kicked in so quickly. And that first relapse I was in, I gained back at least 50 pounds before I even would say I was in a relapse. Honestly, that word relapse scared the crap out of me, and it probably kept me in denial to relapse for several years. But there was such a stigma attached to that word. Like, I don't know. I did come back a second time, worked a really bad program. And of course, I relapsed again till several years for this program. I was signed up in December to speak, because December I have 13 years, which is a miracle. So never give up. Because for me to get abstinent again took me years. Years. And I might have come into OA about 37 years ago, but this December I'm only going to have 13 years. So it never came quickly to me. It's taken me a long time. In my first recovery, I had such a strong spiritual awakening. I mean, it totally changed my life, changed my whole belief system. But faith in God was not enough to keep me abstinent. And I've heard that, and I would think, like my faith should be enough to do it. But the truth is, I stopped working my OA program. And I can have all the faith I want in God. If I'm not working my OA program, it's not going to matter. Because lack of faith, as I've heard, is not my problem. Lack of power is. And, one of the things I shared often is I was living a life of total dishonesty throughout my first and second recovery, not with food. But in my lifestyle, there were certain defects. I refused to even admit they were defects. I was consciously living in them. And I just couldn't see clearly. And it all went around like my desperation to feel loved and validated. How that thinking was just really driving my life. But I came back into this recovery. And for the first time, unlike my first two, I did not get abstinent that first meeting. Took me about 3 months. And I remember going to my face-to-face meeting like crying. I just could not put down the food. And I swear, I thought everybody was looking at me like I had a third eye in my head. Like, what's wrong with her? And it was hard coming back to OA. I called an old sponsor to bring me back. I wore the tote. Tightest clothes I could find, so it wouldn't look like I gained back all my weight. And I felt like a big stuffed thing you eat. And but thank God I came back, because when I relapse, I hate OA. That's why it takes me years to come back. Both my relapses probably lasted like 5 years, and I was not in the rooms. I kept thinking, I can do this on my own. Let me just find the right diet. I remember even looking at adult diet camps. I was so desperate to lose weight, but not desperate enough to come back to OA. until I assume I always had this image of God just like kicking me in the ass back into the rooms. Thank God I came back. And I believe, and I've shared this, we get abstinent in our sleep because we go to bed in our disease and we wake up and we're abstinent and we don't even know it. Because I binged the night before. I got abstinent. And when I woke up and I had a day one, it's scary to have day one. And what's scary about it is I had a lot of day ones, I had a lot of day threes, and then I picked up again. For me, I was so afraid of losing. And I kept losing. But this time I'd gotten about 3 or 4 days and I went to a face-to-face meeting and I asked a woman, oh, they asked sponsors to raise their hand. I asked a woman to sponsor me. I didn't know her. I didn't know one thing about her. I had no idea she had what I wanted, but I knew she was abstinent and a sponsor. So, I'm not really so big on find someone who has what you want. I'm like, just get a sponsor. I'm on my third sponsor. If it doesn't work out, go to another one, but just start being accountable to somebody. Let them help you get started with your food plan and your step work. And because we just can't do this program alone. If there's anything I could stress upon people, I can't imagine not having a sponsor, especially when I was back. I just needed somebody to be accountable to. And my first sponsor experience was not good at all. It lasted about 2 years. And I should have left her. Even when she relapsed, I stayed with her, which was insane. And I was so scared of her and intimidated by her. I always say, I was only abstinent those 2 years because I was so afraid to tell her I wasn't. Then I got a second sponsor who was wonderful, everything I needed at the time. So loving and kind. And then it got so enmeshed. She said I was like her daughter. She was older than me. And I couldn't say anything to her without her saying, oh, Judy, stop being hard on yourself. You're doing, like, in her eyes, I couldn't have a defect. Obviously, that was not going to work. And my current sponsor, I don't know how long I have her, at least, I don't know, 6 years or something. And I love my sponsor. What I love best about her, which shocked me, is when I share with her my shortcomings, she shares something similar. I thought my sponsor walked on water. She has so many years of abstinence, maintaining over 200-pound weight loss. Like, I thought she just like lived life perfectly. She doesn't. And she's older than me. I think she's like 83. And she does so much service for OA. It has never let up in her at all. She carries the key for a few face-to-face meetings, active in inner group, sponsoring a lot of women, going, she's part of the outreach committee, doing, she just does so much OA service. And truly, she's built a wonderful, rich, and rewarding life around OA. And I've learned, when I make OA my life, I have a life. So just to share with you a little bit about what I'm like today. I am just trying to really listen to God. The message I'd gotten from him some time ago is I need to slow down and do less, which was totally the opposite of what I believed. I thought the more I did, like the better person I was. So I'm learning to back off and just not feed into that anymore. Okay. Anyway, I guess we didn't see that. We don't use emojis in this meeting for those who didn't know. No problem. So anyway, I have a full OA life. My days revolve around my OA. I call them deliverables that I do. And I wake up extremely early in the morning, which I love. I know some people wouldn't like that, but I get to do all my prayer and meditation time. I've gotten back into being able to make the 3 a.m. two-way prayer meeting on most days. I only come to this meeting now 2 or 3 times a week. I needed to detach with love because I was so messed with this meeting. And there are no leaders. We're all trusted servants. We're all responsible for this meeting. And there were several Zoom meetings that I overstepped and thought, I had to be the glue that held it together. And then I just got a big resentment and left completely. I wake up because I go to bed so early, to all my sponsee emails and texts, take calls if they're scheduled. I work through the steps every year. Right now, in the middle of step four, I'll be doing harms next, and I'll keep moving on. Decided this year to do a big book deep dive, and I'm only in step four, and it's already October. So I figure it will take me like 2 years, but I love it. What I love about it, and a lot of people say you shouldn't have to go through the steps again if you're doing your 10th step. I love studying step one. I could study step one every single day because I need that reminder. I am powerless over food. And the promise of step one is I will eat again. I have to eat again unless I go on to step two and work the rest of the steps. There is nothing or no one that is going to hold me back from eating again except for doing the step work and getting that spiritual awakening. Getting rid of all the guilt, remorse, and shame of everything that I had done. And, really looking at my defects, my fears. I have a sponsor that I could be honest with, which I'm so grateful for. I tell her all the nooks and crannies that are going on in my head. And surprisingly, she will often have some of the same. But it is, I've learned a lot about what a dishonest life I was living, not just in my lifestyle, but also, I was never my authentic true self. I embellished who I was. I just tried to be who you wanted me to be so you would like me, which is insane because it's like, that old saying, a sick mind trying to heal a sick mind. It's impossible. So I played mind reader. I did a lot of storytelling. I believed a lot of lies. I heard somebody share it was great. Half my mind tells me lies and the other half believes it. That's about how I live my life. Today, I truly have a deep love for OA, which is a blessing. From the height of my first relapse, I'm down about, I guess with getting weight today, I'm down probably about 170 or so pounds, 175 pounds. I weigh less than I ever did, even in my first recovery, high school. It's a miracle. I remember when I blew through my pie in the sky number I wanted to reach. It's a little unnerving in times. I mean, I still sit down. Like yesterday, I sat down on my recliner. Maybe it's just me, but it just felt like my body just spreads so wide. I just don't think I have a clear conception of my body image. And I remember I used to go to this one face-to-face meeting. I used to sit next to an undereater. And I used to look at my legs and hers. And I was like, oh my God, like our two legs together, not even my one thigh. But anyway, that's just the disease. I worked real hard not to make my body size my identity, which has been probably the hardest thing to break. I thought if I was thin, people would like me. And I heard somebody share recently at a meeting, and boy, did this make sense to me. He said, I thought everybody who hated me would now like me because I was thin. And that's what I thought, let's see, my mother was a bad compulsive overeater. She also had another addiction. My father had a completely different addiction that really impacted my life tremendously. My brother, I don't think had any addictions, but a huge rageaholic. I grew up with, we were all afraid of him, to be honest with you. Even my parents were, with how angry he could get. I grew up totally immersed in fear. He was a hunter. He had a gun cabinet unlocked with like a million rifles, and I was convinced he was going to come in and kill us all one day, like I would see on TV, but he didn't. But one of the gifts, one of the many gifts of this program, I have such a deep love for my parents and my brother today. I always tell my brother when I get off the phone, I love him, and he says it back. And life's been hard at times, but I'm here. I'm in the best place ever, and I have to believe everything served a purpose to bring me right here, right now. I have this amazing love for crafting. I make angels now that have filled my life with pure delight. And wow, 22 seconds left. No idea what I said, as is always a good thing. And I'm just really grateful for each of you. And as I love here shared, Thank you all for being part of my abstinence and my recovery, because I could never, ever, ever do it without any of you. Thanks so much.